For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, the home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris Brame, Jeff Dantzler with you. Tomorrow we'll be live at Zaxby's downtown.
It's all downtown.
All downtown tomorrow morning, 11 until 1. Come by and join us there for lunch and football discussions.
I'm going to bet that I could eat 20 chicken fingers tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, give it a whirl.
I could easily.
Some crinkle fries?
I'm just going to do the fingers.
All right.
On a game day, come on. It'd be easy to eat 20 chicken fingers.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd end up with more than that.
If you're just sitting at a tailgate with Zaxby's chicken fingers there and, like, over the course
slurping
of several hours, I mean, you wouldn't even realize how many you've eaten.
Yes.
So come by and watch Jeff eat chicken fingers tomorrow, and we'll talk a little pig skin, and that'll be from 11 until 1, and then we'll pack up and head about a mile or so to the UGA bookstore and be there from 4 until 6 with Geno Atkins, who is going to recreate on us the hit that he had on Deshaun Watson a couple Thursday nights ago. Of course, Watson did like end up running it in from 50 yards out a couple plays after that.
He did.
But Geno really like impaled Watson at that.
He did.
Couple plays earlier than that.
He most certainly did. And it is a great weekend. Then after our show, Dave and Coach Donner will have Bulldog Friday night. And then, Chris, you and Dave Saturday at the bookstore where number 5, Gallup and Garrison Hurst will be signing autographs. I'm telling you, that number 5, Rex Robinson, Kevin Butler, Garrison Hurst, that's
a good number.
Special number right there.
It'd be tough to retire now, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's one where, you know, if you could do the group retirement, I think that would be at the top of the list.
Here's the question. Who wears it now? My guess is Terry Godwin. Does he wear 5?
On offense, and Julian Rochester on defense.
So we got a couple of those guys.
We do. I'm not a huge fan. I mean, every team does it, but it's like DeAndre Swift and Lorenzo Carter because they're both on the punt team, and I think it's DeAndre. He actually has to put on another jersey because you can't have two guys with the same number on the field. So when they're both on the punt team, he has to put on, I don't know, 47 or something.
Right. Lance did something fishy a couple years ago at USC, didn't he, where he changed a guy's number at halftime or something?
Which is, I guess in theory you can do that. That's just
cheating.
Yeah, it is.
All right, time for the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, I'll go ahead. I'll spot you. Just show up.
Uh-huh.
What else must Georgia do to win Saturday night against Missouri other than just showing up to the field?
Got to get a push or better in the turnover department and just not go out there and play sloppy. You know, field kickoffs and punts, and run that football well, cut down on the penalties from last week. And then the big thing is just not give up the big plays to Missouri, especially in the Tigers passing game. I think, you know, you're sitting here nitpicking, and I think as Georgia fans, we're so used to it because even in the greatest of glory days, you know, how many of those wins were just hanging on by the hair of your chinny chin chin? You know, as we like to say, hunker down, that's akin to hang on, dog. So what Georgia's been doing, I think even after wins, we're used to saying, yeah, but. But if there were a couple things from last week, though, Chris, I would say the penalties on offense, Georgia's playing behind the chains a lot. The Dogs were good enough to overcome that a lot of times on the next play. And then there wasn't much of a pass rush, but you're also talking about no Trenton Thompson. You know, Bellamy's got his hand in a club. No Reggie Carter, no Natrez Patrick. Georgia's beat up front.
This feels unprecedented, though, just with the margins Georgia's been winning by.
It is unprecedented.
I mean, because for me, like, where I keep catching myself sometimes with a yeah, but is two of the last three games Georgia's won, two of the teams are no good. Mississippi State, I think, is still good. But it doesn't matter that Tennessee and Vandy aren't any good because we beat them by 41 and whatever the final was Saturday. Was it 45-14?
40. And I will say this. Tennessee has beaten Tech and Vanderbilt's beaten Kansas State.
I mean, so, yeah, they've got a couple of nice wins, but it just – it doesn't matter that they're not because we didn't beat them by four, beat them by seven. We're like, okay, we won those games, but they're not good, and we barely beat them. We crushed them, which is what a good team should do to bad teams. And that's so they're not very good. They were road wins, and we blew them away.
I'll tell you one thing that gets me, too. There's a generation, too, that thinks everything has to do with throwing the football, and I think a lot of that might have to do with also being tied in with fantasy football stats. And I've seen some social media posts. Oh, we need to go out there and throw the ball 30 times. No, because at some point we're going to have to throw. You know, at some point, you know, Georgia might have to throw to – When the dogs don't want to. The key to success in football is throwing when you want to on offense. That's the big key right there. But Georgia does not need to abandon the game plan, what has been working. And the key is, and Chris, you know, you love this number too, it's the yards per attempt. Jake Fromm threw for 102 yards on 11 attempts last week. He played great. He is playing great. What he's able to give Georgia in the running game as well. So I just think it's kind of in our blood to think, all right, what do we got to do better? Whereas right now, we just got to stay on the same track.
What was absurd last week was we averaged 8 yards a carry. That's like not even – like Navy doesn't even do that with that triple option.
Well, like
I
said
– they don't do that.
There were at least three times we had a penalty and got behind the chains, had something like a second and 15 – and literally on the next play, we would run for 16, 17 yards and get the first down.
I know. And that's, you know, that's definitely a pretty good antidote for, you know, you're going to have a game where it's 11 a.m. in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's not the liveliest atmosphere. What happens if you come out flat? Well, when all you have to do is line up and just, you know, power it one way or the other for 8 yards a carry, even if you are flat, it ain't going to matter.
Your great running games don't slump. Quarterbacks might have off days throwing. And you can see, too, when you get a good running attack going, and I'll tell you this, that performance Saturday, that was right up my alley, my friend, even though, you know, it wasn't out of the traditional eye up under center. But the way Georgia was running it, what you have happen then, too, those big linemen love it because they're just –
muscling
up and hitting, and then the backs love it because they're getting into a groove and they're not getting that contact until they're in plus territory. And you know too, for Vandy in that stretch, they play Kansas State, Alabama, Florida, and then Georgia. They've just been on the field so often. Tommy Tuberville said on the broadcast, I mean, it's essential like they've played four games instead of three coming into that Georgia game. And then all of a sudden, so that line gets going. And in that third quarter, you got guys like Chubb and Michelle. They're not getting touched until they get 8-9 yards deep. So now you're a safety or a corner, and you got to come try and roll up on one of these guys with a full head of steam coming downhill.
And so we caught them at a good time.
We did. So the backs are feeding off of that. The line's feeding off of that. And you want to see that continue. And I think that's where you could see week by week that Georgia was playing great, but there was the optimism this team could get better. And a lot of that has to do with the continued seasoning and improvement of Jake Fromm and the continued seasoning and improvement of that offensive line. And both continue to play on an upwards trajectory.
Vandy could use a week off, but unfortunately they don't have one until next Saturday.
That could be a good game. Vandy and Ole Miss.
Ole Miss trying to get their first cover of the season. They're 0-4-1 against the spread.
By the way, those are two teams that have been beaten up, Vandy and Ole Miss.
Yes, Ole Miss has played Alabama and Auburn the last two weekends.
Ouch.
And before that they went to Cal, but they did have a week off. Ole Miss is favored by about a field goal. Neither one of those teams come in, and you got to figure very good shape, though.
They should go Estelle Costanza with the NCAA. Just, I was duped, like with Donna Chang.
Aren't they? Isn't that kind of what they're trying? Isn't that Louisville story now?
We were duped. Rick Pitino, we had no idea.
They don't want to pay him?
We had no idea any of this was going on. It's all that one rogue assistant.
Always.
Always.
Yeah. I couldn't keep. You can't expect me to keep track of my assistant coaches at all hours of the day.
Listen, I'm busy hanging out in restaurants.
Yeah.
15 seconds of your life.
That's the thing, though. I mean, he was only taking 15 seconds for all that.
That's
so.
Like, what?
Yeah. That's some defense he came up with there. Yeah. I don't even think I'd let my a lawyer like talk me into that. Here's what your defense is
going
to be.
No. Listen, I'm not going with
come
that.
Come on.
At some point, there's still male pride.
I'll pay a fine or something.
There's still male pride there.
Jeff, moving on in the 5-5. At this point, the Dogs are 6-0.
Yes.
What now is the minimum Georgia needs to do to maintain the status of this being a great season? What is the minimum that must happen from here on out for this to still be considered a great year that Georgia's having?
Wins over Tech, Florida, Kentucky, South Carolina, and Missouri, 11-1 or 12-0 going to Atlanta.
Okay, so they can only lose once, and the only game they can lose to – wait.
The only acceptable loss at this point
is
going
South
to Atlanta
Carolina?
Would be Auburn.
Oh, you didn't say – I thought you did say Auburn
no.
there. You didn't. Okay.
You got to beat Missouri, South Carolina, Florida, Kentucky, and Tech. Obviously, I would like to beat Auburn, too. But
win the home games in the two rival – big. Well,
yeah,
Auburn's
Florida
a big rival, too.
But again, if we're 11-1 with, say, a 21-17 loss at Auburn going to Atlanta, we'd be ranked about number four, number five. That's a great year. And then George would be playing either Auburn or Bama for the SEC title.
Yeah.
I brought that up.
I agree with you. I think that's spot on. You can't lose any more than one game.
No, and you can't lose to Tech. You can't lose to Florida. And no.
I don't know. If you're 11-1 and end up in Atlanta, I don't know. You would if Georgia was 11-1, went to Atlanta, and then lost a game, it wouldn't be a great year anymore?
At 11-2?
But if that happened, if Georgia lost to Auburn,
that'd be fine. If we had lost to Auburn, I'm talking about heading to Atlanta.
So if heading to Atlanta, 11-1,
but beating Tech and not getting upset by Kentucky, South Carolina, or Missouri,
right?
So in other words, if there's a loss, Auburn,
no, but any other loss, and we'd be in Atlanta with one loss,
it'd
and you wouldn't consider it a great season.
It'd be an excellent season. No, oh, you know, I mean. If we're 11-0 and lose to Tech.
Yeah, but we might be resting starters in that game.
Don't even mess with me about that. I mean, but I think you'd agree at this point 11 is the number.
I think minimum or maximum one loss.
Yes.
And winning the East.
Yes.
It's still a great season. I'm not carrying it as far as you or it has to be specifically against.
Here's the thing. I don't want to get upset.
It would be weird, though, to think that we're 11-1, about to play Bama for the SEC title and a spot in the playoff,
mm-hmm.
but our head coach is 0-2 against Tech.
That's just not even funny.
But if we lost to Tech and we're 11-1 going to play Bama, that's a game for a trip to the playoff. It is.
You know the question you could ask me, the conundrum.
What is that?
I'm not going to tell you.
I'm trying to think the conundrum
is. You would
is.
Have to think about the ultimate Sophie's choice.
Does it involve Tom Watson winning a major?
No. He's my man's retired.
What is it? I'm confused.
I'm not going to tell you. It'll come to you.
Does it involve the Lady Dogs?
No, it's all Georgia football. And who and what?
We're undefeated playing Tech. Could we lose to them and win the title, win the national title?
Would you take that deal?
Yes.
That'd be a hard swallow.
I would take it.
Oof.
I think 99.9% of our fans would, too. You might be the one holdout. I smell another Twitter beef coming on tonight.
That'd be rough. But the realistic thing is if you lose to Tech, you're probably not going to be like Alabama, Clemson, and
If Georgia doesn't beat Tech, they're not going to go to Atlanta the next week and beat Alabama.
And then beat Clemson and Ohio State.
Right, I know.
Yeah, that's just
why do we even have to think like that? But
because we're twisted.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing.
But point being, the minimum now at this point.
It's 11-1.
11-1 and heading to Atlanta is the is as bad as it can get for it to still be a great, great year.
And you would agree too, the 11-1 in all seriousness, you'd have to have wins over Tech in Florida.
Yes, I want to beat Tech in Florida.
Yes. And you and again, to go, you don't want to get upset. Like, I don't want to lose to Missouri, be 11-1 with a loss to Missouri. That'd be humiliating.
No, because I still want to feel like if Georgia's going to Atlanta to play Alabama, that they have a chance to beat Alabama. And if Georgia has lost to Missouri, South Carolina, or Kentucky, they will not beat Alabama.
Correct. And then we got to beat Florida and Tech.
Right.
And
quite frankly, if Georgia loses to one of them, they won't be beating Alabama.
No,
either.
Exactly. So that's, you know, that's another way to look at it. You know, is, you know, I get so nervous for these games too, but it's like, listen, if this Missouri game is really close, again, I'll take a 1-point win right now. If this Missouri game is really tight and Georgia wins by three, we're not going to the playoff. That's just the way you got to look at it.
No, because we're going to lose to Alabama. We'll still probably win the East. Yeah. But
I'll tell you what, if for Georgia, the Dogs could get some help Saturday from Texas A&M.
With Florida?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the next week with Kentucky at Mississippi State.
Yeah, because, I mean, if the Gators win, then they're sitting there. They're 4-1, and outside of the Georgia game, they've got to play Missouri and South Carolina. Now, both of those are on the road.
Yeah.
But
that's it.
Yeah, so you're almost thinking Florida's going to be favored to at worst be 6-2 in the division.
Yeah, here's the thing. If Georgia and Florida both win Saturday, that game's – for the division, unless Kentucky keeps winning.
Well, either yeah, or I guess, I mean, Florida could lose to Missouri or South Carolina on the road. It's not like they're a team that's just been, because of their offense, that they're going to be able to just guarantee outscore somebody.
Right.
But still, they'll be favored in both of those games. That if they win Saturday, then yes. That game in Jacksonville will have significant stakes attached
yes.
to it.
Yes.
All right, moving on in today's 5 at 5. Jeff, better chance of losing this weekend, Georgia or the Falcons?
God, come on. The Falcons.
Okay. Clemson or Alabama? Keep in mind now, Clemson plays
Clemson at the Carrier Dome.
So Clemson has a better chance of losing to Syracuse than Bama has of losing to Arkansas.
Yes, and I don't even know who Syracuse's coach is. Is it that Dino
Babers? Dino
Babers,
yeah.
He was at Bowling Green?
Yeah.
Okay.
Clemson's got – Kelly Bryant is going to play, but
– beat up.
Sunday he was wearing a walking boot.
That ain't good.
A couple other quick ones here. Indiana hasn't beaten Michigan since 1987. Kansas has not won a road game since 2009.
And that's overall, right?
Period, yes. Their last road win was at UTEP in the year 2009. So, Jeff, Kansas is at Iowa State. Indiana host Michigan. Which of those teams has a better chance of winning, Indiana or Kansas?
I'm going to go with Indiana.
Kansas is catching Iowa State at a pretty good time, though, aren't they?
You got that right.
Iowa State coming off that win in Norman.
Whew, that's the worst loss a team's had this year, Oklahoma. No question about it.
Yes, although by point spread, technically no. Remember, UNLV did lose to Howard.
Right.
They were favored by 40-something.
Right. But, I mean, for
– as far as a team that has something to play for, yes.
Yes. And that's the thing, too, with Oklahoma. That's where I talk about getting upset. You know, if Oklahoma – went 11-1 and the loss was to TCU, there's no shame in that. But it's like they're not going to go 11-1 now. But, you know, if you wound up getting kept out, being left out of something because you lost to Iowa State, I mean, that's just horrible.
Jeff, game 5, Cubs, Nats tonight.
Ooh.
What's the outcome?
I'm pulling for the Cubs tonight just because – the prospect of a Nationals-Astros potential World Series does not sound very good. What's my pitching matchup tonight? Is it Gio Gonzalez?
Kyle Hendricks is pitching for the Cubs. I think maybe it's officially Gonzalez, but apparently Dusty Baker was still considering Tanner Roark too. But I think he's definitely – I mean, at this point, you have to tell a guy who's starting, I would imagine.
No doubt.
But.
I think – You know, it seems
I think
like
it's going to be Gio.
The Nats have got the momentum. I still like the Cubs. And I think one thing you saw last night was that if you get to that game five, especially if the home team won the first two, and did you notice that in those LCSs, the three out of fives, the road team's got a better record? And I can see that because, you know, you had the better record during the season. That's why you're hosting. It's easy to get tight. And when the Yankees got that lead in the first inning, you know, Cleveland did get it to 3-2.
Our man Didi Gregorius.
Oh, they played
two homers.
Sterling was just
better shortstop, Didi Gregorius or Derek Jeter?
All-time Derek Jeter, but Gregorius is – he's playing really good right now. You know, did you see – like? And I like Aaron Judge a lot, but he had 3-4 strikeout games.
He was, I believe, 1-for-19 with 16 strikeouts in the series.
I'll tell you, and this is
imagine A-Rod did that.
But Judge has handled himself. He's a class kid. And here's the thing with him, and even watching last night, he's just missing. It doesn't look like he's getting fooled. He's just missing pitches,
yeah.
Which leads me to think that he might could come alive, and he's going to have to because the Astros, they got some heavy lumps. And isn't it funny, you know, we think about those Houston teams, those great teams they had in the 80s, you know, with Ryan and Richard and Joe Niekro, it was about the pitching, and then, you know, when they had Mike Scott. But I mean, and they had a couple of good hitters, but the Astrodome was so big, you know, Jose Cruz would lead them in home runs. He'd have like 18.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these guys – whoo, they can swing the bats. And then at the top of the order, I mean, they got Keuchel and Verlander's are 1-2 pitchers.
Well, that's the Yankees, even though they didn't win the division, they were better than the Red Sox this year.
I thought so, too. The margin, the run margin
was better,
showed that.
Yeah,
it was.
But I know you're thinking, at least if the Cubs win tonight, then you're guaranteed either the Cubs or Dodgers are in the World Series. And then, so even if the Astros get there, okay. But then, boy, you're so you're tantalizingly close to having either Cubs-Yankees or Dodgers-Yankees.
Which, by the way, I'll tell you, it's obviously my Bulldog blood runs deepest. Man, it's Yankees against Dodgers. Oh,
you got to pull for the Dodgers.
Of course I am.
All right,
of course
good.
I am.
All right.
Especially when Alex and Fields are pitching and if Kyle gets up there.
Alex needs to get – I think they want to maybe try and use him out of the bullpen.
I don't like
they
him.
Said he would have pitched game four
he
had
was,
he gotten there.
So when I heard that, I thought, okay, well, then he'll start game one or two.
Well, you know what scared him off is, and I know he ended up going on the DL, but in the second half of the season, he gave up like 13 or 14 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Kershaw gave up like 4 or 5 in his start, didn't he?
Yeah, I think the thing with Kershaw, we saw that number, even when you were reading off his numbers, like, wait, this can't be right. He gives up a lot of home runs because he's around the plate. But the thing with him is they're going to be solo shots.
Yeah, you're right.
So he's
that's what they pretty much were against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, so he's going to beat you 4-1 or 4-2. But I don't want him tinkering around with Alex. And I'll tell you this, I'm a guy too, as good as their pitching's been, they don't need, especially they've got Darvish now and Hill, they don't need to think about, with Kershaw's history in the postseason, they don't need to think about trying to pitch him in games 1, 4, and 7. They need to go with a 4-man rotation.
Well, yeah, and then have him available, I guess, for 6 or 7.
Right,
yeah. Pitch game one.
Yeah, and then game five, and then he would be on it'd be kind of a throw day. Then he could give you 2 out of the bullpen.
Yeah, that's what he came out of the bullpen last year in the LCS against the Cubs.
I'll tell you two other quick baseball nuggets. Game four, it's the biggest game in the 7-game series, with the exception of game 7. No doubt, difference between 3-1 and 2-2 or a sweep. And years that end in 7 for great Cleveland teams. That heartbreak against the Marlins in 97. They were up against the Red Sox 3-1 in the 07 ALCS. And now this year.
For Cleveland, though, it's years that end in any number that have been bad. But good news is in 8 months the Cavaliers will be in the NBA Finals. So,
do you think the Browns will be in the Super Bowl this year?
They will not. The question for them is, will they continue to be number 32 in our bottom 5?
Who will they draft?
3 trips inside the Jets' 5-yard line Sunday, 0 points. Miles Garrett had a sack, though, so they got that going for him.
Jeremy Field texts in. Thank you, Jeremy. Iowa State, oh, my gosh, all time. This is just makes us lost for Oklahoma even worse. their all-time record against Oklahoma, 6-74-2.
Yeah, so they were at 5 prior to Saturday?
Before that, let's see. They beat them in 1990. The last one before that was in 1961.
Hmm.
Whew. That's a bad – so, again –
that is the worst loss of the year.
You just – and I know you can sit there and joke about it. I know Missouri hadn't had that good a year, but these kids are all about the same age. You don't want to have them hanging around believing with no pressure. Funny things can happen
right.
Week to week.
Georgia's got to have the same type of first half they've had the last 3 weeks.
And as you like to say, a big reason Georgia's favorite in a game like this is because of guys like Nick Chubb and Sony Michel and Isaiah Wynn and Jonathan Ledbetter and Roquan Smith. Those guys have got to play good.
Yeah, which they've been doing.
They have been. They've been great.
But one of those guys, Trenton Thompson, not playing, although the odds makers are aware of that, and Georgia's still favored by 30. All right, there's today's 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems More Than a System, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.